today is Wednesday, August the 2nd. Joining us this morning.
Oh, okay. You don't have any teeth on your necklace there.
I put
Ryan Sundberg.
I put all the teeth in this morning.
Oh, the shark teeth?
No, these teeth.
Oh, that's right. It's not Shark Week, is it?
How are you doing this morning?
Oh, day by day, step by step, huh?
Keep it moving.
Yeah. Do you have your Wheaties?
No.
Oh, you're not a Wheaties guy?
No.
That was one of the cool things, right? Who's on the box of Wheaties? And now nobody cares because nobody's thinking about Wheaties. Yeah.
I didn't do Wheaties even when Wheaties was cool.
You didn't do Wheaties?
No.
Cheerios?
Yeah, we did Cheerios.
And Corn Flakes. Those were the three for us. And then when life got really wild, Chex.
Mm.
And
it's going to be a wild show today.
Now it's a week and a half going through the cereal aisle, isn't it? Our quote this morning comes, actually, it's a Shakespeare from Hamlet. Give every man your ear, but give very few your voice.
That's a good one for a politician, right?
Well, a little bit of connectivity there.
Was that a hint?
Yeah. You're not up for election next cycle, are you?
I am.
Oh, you are?
Yep.
Okay. I guess we have to start paying attention to what you say then.
Nah.
Okay, good.
Don't you kick us off when we start running?
Not when you start running. It's when you formally announce that you're running.
Okay.
That's the moment. Yeah.
Right. Might have to do that soon then, huh?
That's your call, baby. Not mine. So how's the marijuana biz doing for the county? You guys getting more compliance?
Complaints or compliance?
Yes.
Okay. No. We actually, it's difficult, but it's also going in a good direction. We had 927 permits come in.
It bumped up a little bit.
Yeah. So our budget was, it was 4.2 million. And I think probably when it's all shook out, it'd probably be somewhere around 500 that completed applications that came in.
Oh, so the 927 was what took out?
That was how many came in that said they were completed, but I think some of them probably aren't really completed.
Kind of like voter registration slips and petitions and things like that?
You have to get more to make sure you have them all, yeah, something like that.
Okay.
So I wouldn't
try to keep it as current for you as possible, so we don't lose you in the weeds.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I need all the help I can get. So if 500 of those, you know, end up coming in, then we'll have to revise our budget again. So up to, you know, it's probably somewhere over 6 million, I would assume.
You know, why don't you just pass a thing and says if there's more, Public Works gets it for roads.
That's where the public comes in and lets us know what their priorities are.
Well, I mean, if you overshoot.
So there's opinions everywhere of where that should go.
I mean, you're not going to go with Papstein's postulate again?
Pin me down right here. This I can guarantee Public Works will get some of it. We had a project, a safety project that came up for Central Avenue, and the community got to kick it around for a few years to see what they wanted. And at the end, they chose to do partial inlets into the middle lanes there. And then they also wanted green bike lanes for safety for bicyclists. And so it was quite hotly debated for a couple of years. And
really?
that was the final verdict was they wanted green bike lanes. So they got them.
And we'll ponder that during the break. KINS News and Information. Oh, my. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, considering some of the different challenges and changes that are going on out there, is one of the goals for the county stabilization? To try to keep things consistent in some areas? I mean, you know, you got code enforcement, you know, and I, going back to when Cowboy was a supervisor, it was like, you could tell when there was somebody new in that department because all of a sudden, whoosh, there was all these things being written, all these challenges. And then after about a year and a half, normalcy returns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it, frustration for a lot of folks. I guess it's kind of like baseball umpires. Call the strike zone. Whatever it is, I mean, it could be 5 feet outside. Be consistent. And that's what we're looking for, is consistency. Not, you know, are you having a good day? Are you having a bad day? You know, this or that. So is there any effort through either through leadership or through the departments for consistency on the enforcement side or in the processing mm-hmm. side or in, you know, interaction with the public? Any area? Is that a spoken target?
Yeah, of course. And then we have – so the supervisors are – hire and fire all the department heads, and then that department head, they hire and fire their staff. And so we do annual evaluations on each person, and you know that comes up quite often because that's one of the most frustrating things that we deal with, is you know having one person be treated one way, another person be treated another way, and then they, you know, and we hear about it all. So you know,
or,
we go and talk to.
It can be something simple. Let's say building. I go in and talk to you today, and everything's okay, and we're ready to go. Just make this one change. Now I come in tomorrow, and it's Winston.
You get a different person.
And boy, there's a big laundry list of what we got to take care of.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. No, it is. It is very frustrating, and I think that the department heads, they get it and they want to fix it. And it takes, you know, it's a lot of culture change. We've been working on this since I've gotten elected. It was, you know, a big deal. And we've been
that you
making,
were elected?
Of course. No, it's big. We've made a big deal out of consistency, working with the public, you know, trying to make it more user friendly. And, I think you can do that without, you know, without breaking laws or rules or, you know, and there's sometimes we found where there was different policies in place that had just been there forever that you just have to ask the question, you know, why are we doing it like that? What
kind of inertia almost.
And so I just tell people, yeah. I'm like, you know, if you find something that's not working for you and you're wondering, you know, why did we do it that way? Let me know, because we can bring an agenda item forward and change it, you know, unless it's in state law. We can change it.
So most is policy?
Yeah, there's a lot of policy and just rules that they've come up with over the years that may have worked 20 years ago but doesn't make any sense today. And if nobody brings it up, it just stays in place and staff keeps doing it the same way. And we just have, you know, but I think we're a pretty nimble board and we listen to what people are saying. And, you know, we've brought stuff forward and changed it quite often.
Well, let me throw a nuclear bomb at you.
I'm used to you.
Okay. The library. Now, I know that there's been, I mean, it's certainly a sacred cow for a lot of folks. The library was what the library was before things changed, like digital, mm-hmm. as an example. The library now is something that's entirely different, used entirely differently. Okay. Is that something that gets reviewed as an example of how things change? You can lock mm-hmm. into inertia, and then you throw in the sacred cow syndrome, and now you really are, you know, compounding challenge. Do those things come under regular reviews, or mm-hmm. only when really tight times, or somebody has a big issue and it's a flaring concept at that point, or on fire?
So it's actually come up more recently. We, you know, we have a new director, and so we have some fresh eyes in there that has let us know what the struggles are, and she has been making recommendations for changes in there. And, you know, some of them, one of the challenges is, well, first I'll go back to how it's being used is, you know, there is a lot of digital now with the libraries, and then there's also another big change is computer usage, and people who don't have computers and that kind of thing go to the library and they can rent them there, and they, so that's changed. But the paper book, it was, I wish I had this stat. I didn't know you were going to ask me this question, but I've seen the stat, and it's really, really high how many people still check out paper books and how much kids use libraries as well. And so it's,
are those usage figures or those library cards that are
they're
like a requirement checking, for you to pass second grade, yeah, is to have a library card?
Yeah. No, so we don't go by library cards. I mean, we have those numbers, but we go by how much circulation there is and how many people check a book in and out and that kind of thing. So that's a number.
I've had to go to a library, but I go online and go to the Smithsonian, mm-hmm, or the Library of Congress instead of trying to figure out the hours.
I'll
of the
Google,
library,
yeah,
a mile
me
away.
And you would just Google it somehow and try and figure it out. And I mean, the only time I go to the library, to tell you the truth, is with my daughter because she loves it. And so I was surprised to see how high those numbers were, and you know how viable the library still is, even in a digital world that we live in. So that was good to see. And you know, it's a great investment. And you know,
people, that's the branch library.
It's all the libraries here, but you know the Eureka one is the focus. Is, you know, yes, probably, yeah, what you're talking about. But
so
then,
does she want to go to the Eureka Library?
No, or? We go to the McKinleyville Library.
Yeah. I'm wondering that structure.
Her school goes to the Eureka Library,
really?
Though. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they do a big program there, and so it's. I think it's, you know, it's really valuable. And
well,
and
I enjoyed the, you know, the library at the colleges too, you know, mm-hmm, hanging out there because it was quiet and the material was there.
I spent a lot of time there.
But yeah, awake?
Yeah. I needed a little extra help.
Yeah. Oh, I see. KINS, so. News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. I said afternoon. Try that again. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Ryan Sundberg. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redek. Every once in a while, you got to check yourself and go, I'm a supervisor. How'd this happen? How'd that happen?
I know.
You flash back to, you know, when you're a five-year-old throwing dirt clods. It's like, happened here?
Well, I flash back to, you know, 10 years ago and be like, I never would have guessed that this is where I would be, for sure. It wasn't an aspiration or a thought or a, boy, I'd like to be a supervisor one day.
I know. You just liked working with me and you wanted to work with me more regularly in this form rather than the other form.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the selling
points. I knew
that
was in that decision-making link somewhere.
I think I said, Brian who?
Yeah. Oh, no. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about the library and as one area of topic, because I know it's one of those, there's general fund dollars going to it. There's a percentage of the population that uses it, some that don't. Certainly the physicalness of it is more than overwhelming. You look at the grounds, though, and you go, well, okay, lots of weeds and dandelions live here. It's really, a symbol for me of a dichotomy of where we are. Transition, mm-hmm, use, no use. Can we afford it? Yes or no. Can we staff it? Yes or no. Does the community use it? Yes or no. There's history, there's legacy, there's all the emotional, the logical, everything's all wrapped up in library.
It really is a microcosm of your society for what's going on. And one of the things, actually, now that we're talking about that, is one of the challenges is, I don't want to say new, but more pronounced, is like homeless that use the library and hang out, or, you know, people who
shelter,
shelter, warmth. You know, it's a big open space that is open to the public and with bathrooms. And, you know, say, I mean, it totally makes sense why people would go there. However, you have, like, you know, you mix in mental illness and that kind of thing, or drugs or alcohol.
And 8 year olds.
Yeah, it's just, there's some conflicts there. And it's been an issue that's been getting more and more pronounced. And so one of the things that the librarian, Vanessa, let us know about was that they wanted to have more security over there because, you know, there's not bouncers over there to help people get out, and it just takes the police a little bit to get there. And so they wanted someone to, you know, to walk around the building. They've found needles around the library, and they have some unruly people sometimes. And it's usually when someone's in there and doesn't want to leave, they, you know, they try and work with them, and they end up, you know, if someone wants to get aggressive, then they need some help. So we use some Measure Z money to help them out with that. And that's, you know, something that you just didn't think about very much a little while ago.
Is it Sheriff or is it Rent-A-Cop?
It's Rent-A-Cop.
Okay. So you're not having to pay as much.
No. It's just still a cost that is one more thing. And the more costs they have, the less books they can buy. And, you know, so, you know,
they were just looking for permission to be able to access some of their budget and apply it to that.
No, they needed
the
extra
money.
They needed some extra money, and luckily we
is
were able
working?
To do it. You know what? It's brand new, and so I haven't heard how it's working yet, but I'm sure we'll get a report on it before too long. I haven't heard that it's
one
not.
Way or the other, huh? Yeah.
No news is good news,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well. Depends if you're in the news business or not. Oh, geez. Coastal Commission, how's that working out for you?
Oh, it's interesting. You know, my first meeting was in, so I've been on for a few months now, and my first meeting was down in San Diego, and I got there the day before, and the meeting starts at 8:30 in the morning. And it went about 10 hours that first day, and the next day started at 8:30 in the morning. So this is on Thursday morning. We had closed session through lunch to review all the lawsuits that are against the Coastal Commission. And then,
is there a lot?
Yeah, there was probably 40 or so that were on there, which I don't know if that's a lot or not because I'm new. I mean, it would be a lot for the county, but is that a lot for the Coastal Commission? Probably average, I guess, I would assume. And then that meeting got over at 12:30 in the morning. So it went for like 16 hours straight. And then we had to be back on Friday morning, 8:30 in the morning, for the final day. And I was
didn't hit the bar that night, did you?
No.
Yeah, see? Yeah,
I hit the pillow.
Yeah.
But
well,
it was,
that'd be a cool name for a bar, wouldn't it? The pillow?
The pillow.
Yeah. Hey, hit the pillow. Pillow fight? I mean, you know, just kind of, there's a bunch of different options there.
You might have missed your calling.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can find somewhere for you here in Eureka.
Yeah. Semper Vivens?
Yeah, so that was my introduction to the whole thing, and the packets are just enormous. It was, you know, I read and read and read and read for that meeting, and they had protesters, and we had to adjourn.
You had a show.
Yeah, we had to adjourn the meeting, and not adjourn the meeting. We had to leave the meeting to get the protesters to.
What were they protesting?
So, you know how we have the spent nuclear fuel rods out here, and they're encased in those cement coffin things, and so they have the same thing in what is it, San Onofre?
San Onofre, yeah.
And so they are, you know, there's nowhere to take that stuff.
Oh, Nevada's not taking it anymore.
No, there's nowhere to take it. And so they have to, you know, do the same kind of thing on site. And it's right by the ocean and, you know, same all the same things that we have here. And there in the Coastal Commission had to, this all happened before I got there. So this is like after the fact, mad. And
it's all PS then. Pre-sunburn.
Yeah. So, thanks.
You're not even taking notes on this. Is good stuff.
Yeah, I'm locking it up in here.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
So they were really upset that the whatever Coastal Commission permit that was issued for it, which it was really minor what the Coastal Commission had to do because it's mostly run by the Federal Energy Regulating Committee.
Yeah, FERC.
Commission, FERC. Yeah. And so they were, one of the guys just wouldn't quit talking. He was, you know, and then the chair was trying to calmly say thank you for your comments and let's move to the next person, and he would not leave. He was, I am not leaving until you arrest me. And
well, let's save ourselves some time then.
So there was a couple of sheriffs in the room, and he wanted to be arrested is what he said. And so it was funny, Dana Bochco is our chair, and she said, just because you want to be arrested doesn't mean you can be arrested. So we all got up and left the meeting. He didn't get arrested, so she wasn't going to give him what he wanted. It was pretty funny.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back, final segment with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, last week you guys talked a little bit about Coast Seafood. Certainly it's progressing into the Coastal Commission also. I don't know if is it okay for you to talk about it?
Yeah, I can talk about it.
Okay. What's going on?
So, at the meeting in Humboldt, their permit was denied by a 6-5 vote. And
now, was that a surprise?
It was a surprise to me, yeah. I thought they had a pretty good project put together. I voted in favor of it. And but regardless,
why was it denied by some?
It was complicated. This is my opinion, that there was a lot of information that came at the last minute. There was a 40-page document that came around 9 o'clock the night before, and a lot of commissioners didn't have a chance to read it. There was a sense that a lot of the science that was being done on the expansion of the project needed to be done before the expansion, and they had it broken up into pieces where they would, and then with adaptive management where you would study. So the main issue is eelgrass and brant, right? And so brant normally don't like to come in and eat the eelgrass where there's a 3-foot line spacing on the oyster lines. And so this was going to move it out to 10 feet and then do a study to see if the brant would come in and eat the eelgrass, and then if it worked, they would expand on from there. If it didn't work, they would take those beds out. And I thought that was a pretty fair way to accommodate an expansion. And so I was obviously not supported in that. So
your persuasive skills lacked.
Yes. Yeah, okay. So anyways, so they,
you'd write that one down too, by the way.
The whole permit for their current operations was all wrapped into their expansion one as well. So when they denied one, they denied the other. The issue is going to come on our meeting next week in Calabasas, where we can give an extension to their current operations, so not the expansion, but their current operations, and then probably in September, October, they'll have a revised project that they're going to bring back to us to talk about an expansion for them that will probably look a little bit different than their last one. And I'm hopeful that, you know, that we'll be able to make it all work and you know, there's 70 or so jobs out there that depend on that.
Yeah, bring home the good news, okay?
Do my best, my friend.
All righty. Okay. See everybody tomorrow.